Good morning. The Lord is risen. And have you? So that is the question today. I have an interesting Happy Resurrection Sunday message. It's probably not conventional, but it I would have to say that I'm a little surprised what the Lord has given me, probably a lot of testimony this morning, because the Lord has been speaking a lot, and I pray that in this time of consecration, He's been speaking to you a lot. He's been giving you words of knowledge. He's been giving you words of wisdom. Has been taking the things that have from your past and been giving you His perspective as to this is how I see things instead of how you have interpreted those things, and said, I can make what Satan meant for evil and turn them into good. That's the greatness of God. And He just continues to show Himself mighty on our account, and I love that. I love that God loves us so much that He never leaves us floundering unto our own works. And we are people of spirit, and as people of spirit, we have a great end. I want to start off with prayer, honestly. So. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that we commemorate this time of when you died, when you rose again, and when you ascended unto the right hand of the Father. And I thank you, Lord, that all that you did meant something to my life today. And so in that, you have said, I will bring heaven to earth. And in that, you made that possible. And Father, even in this prayer, you have made prayer possible for us to come to the very throne room of God and to be able to show our hearts. But Father, you have been able to show your heart to us. And I thank you for that. God, I pray an anointing. Not only anointing to the words that are spoken, but also an anointing for the hearts to receive. An anointing for God to speak into the hearts and for those hearts to be open. And that, Father, not only to hear, but, Father, they be edified by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off with Matthew 27. And it says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you abandoned me? And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn into two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, observed the earthquake and all that was happening, they were terribly frightened and filled with awe, and said, truly, this was the Son, was God's Son. There was also numerous women there looking on from a distance, who were those who had accompanied Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. And among them were Mary of Magdala and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is an important thing that happened in the history of the religious system. Transitions are always hard and messy. I'm going to go through some of the things that, through some transitions, and just to show you how hard they are. And because any transitions that you've gone through are hard and they are messy. We have a nephew, Sharon and I, David and Ashley just had a baby like yesterday. And cute little Sybil Ray Smith is her name. And she, you know, how they present her, of course, you know, she's so cute. She is just little tiny, and the mother is little tiny. But understand, when she was having that baby, it was not cute. It was not a perfect. It was not. It was messy. Having gone through three births of my own, I understand this is a messy process. And it was a hard process. Talk to any woman who's given childbirth. The transitions are hard and messy. Having a newborn in your home, going from two people in a home to three people in a home to four people in a home to five people in a home to however many people you have in your home right now, those transitions are difficult. Why? Because you introduce another person into that household. And even though they may bring you joy at times, there's also a transition of making room for that person. Transitions are hard. Each transition in just an individual person's life is difficult. The Greek in Galatians chapter 4, there's this. It says that a child is sometimes under tutors and governors, and that child, it names them, it calls them sons, and it calls them children. They have like four different Greek names. Even though it has the word son, it has four different names for them. Paideon, which we around here call, it's one who continues to poop in their diaper. They're a paideon. Nepios, technon, weos, which is a mature man, and pater, which is a father. Those are the stages of childhood, stages of people coming into their adulthood. I see people who put on Facebook a lot, adulting is hard. Well, why is it so hard? It's because they got to make hard decisions. And they've got to do things that they've never done before. And in this, when this happens, coming into your own, you have to learn some things. And learning things is a transition into learning how to do them well. To be a man or woman of excellence is sometimes hard to do. I met with a man this past week, and I asked him a question. I said, how long does it take for you to become 17? You know, from childhood to 17. And I told him, this isn't a trick question. How long does it take to become 17 years old? And he looked at me, and I said, it takes 17 years. And I said, a lot of people, when they become Christians, they become a Christian and they become 5 years old as a Christian, and then they stop. They never fulfill their maturity in Christianity. And it's because no one has come by alongside and discipled them into maturity in Christ. And this transition, these transitions that come in life are hard. We, and I'll be talking with Jimmy about this, but maybe this will be our next series of the Patheon, Nepios, Technon, Weos, Pater thing that we're going to do here of teaching our people what, where are we and where are we going as an individual in our maturity in Christ. The transition in marriage. I was listening to a guy, and he said, Hallmark has it all wrong. We have a wedding that should be a funeral. And I thought, oh my gosh. Why do you say that? And the reason he says is because when you walk down that aisle, you are saying, I will lay down my life for this person. Each one is saying, I will lay down my life. I will die for that person. So this should be a funeral. It's not this wedding full of bliss. It's learning how to lay down your life for one another. And it's not a 50-50 thing. It's a 100% thing. And the transition from life in the body to life in the spirit is also a hard process. I used to work at a hospice agency as a chaplain. And I've been to a lot of bedsides where people were passing. And it's hard. It's hard on the person. It's hard on the family. It's hard when people transition from life on earth to life in heaven. And it's especially hard when you know that person's not going to be going to heaven. They're not Christians. They don't know Jesus. But even those who we love and we know we're not going to see them again here on earth, there is hope when we know we'll see them in heaven. But Jesus tries to prepare us. He tries to prepare us when he says, I must leave so that I may send another. And to send us the Comforter. And that's the Holy Spirit. He says, let there be, as it is on earth, let it be in heaven. Not the other way around. Let it be in heaven as it is on earth. And he did that by saying, let us live in the Spirit here on earth. Because that's what it's going to be in heaven. So we as a people need to learn how to live by the Spirit here on earth. So he's preparing us now. I'm telling you, during this time of consecration, that's part of our preparation. He's coming back for a spotless, blameless bride. And that was part of what he's doing. Sharon and I have had some few conversations. What is it that we should be praying for? Well, I believe that part of the things that we're supposed to be praying for is that returning back to our first love. Returning back. If you read that scripture in Revelation where he's chastising this church, he said, all of these things that you're doing, that's great and that's wonderful. But all of these things that you're doing, it's not where it's at. It's return to your first love. Well, all these things that they were doing is good, but it's not your first love. Well, if all these things that are good, why are they being chastised? Because it's not about doing. It's about being. Being a son of God. Being a daughter of God. It's about being at his side. It's about sitting at his feet. It's about loving him. That's returning to your first love. You remember when you just couldn't get enough of God when you first learned about who he did and what he did and the sacrifice he did on the cross? Return to that first love. That's what he's looking for. That's what he wants in us. When Jesus went to the cross, and when he died, there was a transition that was happening in the religious political system. Understand that something was about to happen. It was crucial in this day and time. There was a whole system that was built around the Jewish system, and there was Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were all employed taking care of the temple, sacrificing bulls and lambs and goats and pigeons and doves, and all of this was according to the old law. Well, always waiting for the perfect sacrifice. That was Jesus. And so when Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. And so no longer did we need an artificial sacrifice. We had the perfect sacrifice in Jesus. And so now there was no need for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Levite priest. There was this thing that happened. What happened? Well, the curtain. Remember, there was a place of holy, and then there was a place of the holy of holies. And there was a curtain, this huge, huge curtain. And it was very thick, and it was very big, and it was very tall. And when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. And that curtain was ripped from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. That's significant, because what that showed was it was God who ripped it. God ripped that from top to bottom, and now this place that was the Holy of Holies, remember having to go in that, you had to be a certain man, you had to have a certain way to be able to go in that thing. You had to be pure. And if you weren't, what would happen when you entered into the place of the Holy of Holies? You would die. You would die if you went in there. Now that place was open. Anybody could go in there. There was no division between the Holy of Holies and the place of holy. And so now, what was available? God was available. God was available. And so now we get to enter into the Holy of Holies. God is now saying, come in. You get to come in. We get to go into the throne room of God. He is now accessible to us. Man, we should be so excited to be able to go into that throne room, that we are now have access to God. The word says, in Revelation 1:6, it says, and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So be it. No need for Pharisees and Sadducees. He formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father. We are priests. We are kings. Let me tell you what. When Jesus died, when he made us a royal priesthood, he made us into that place where we were able to go to the footstool of Jesus, to the footstool of God. And so, we have access. No longer need for another man. We are able. And in that, we have tremendous, tremendous ability to live our lives according to what God says. There's the Logos, which is the Word of God, and we also have Rhema, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. We're born again, given a spirit to hear God. And we get to hear that. Matthew 27:52. It says, "And the tombs were opened, and many bodies and saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised." Raised to life. Must have been an incredible thing. Because the way it says it is, "And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people." When that happened, many people were raised from the dead. This is not said in this word, but I'm going to assume something here. That the earth was filled with so much life that many people were raised from the dead, as Jesus was. Not that they had at the same stature as Jesus, but they were raised from the dead as Jesus was. I was given a memory of when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I had a cousin, and her name was Hope. And she was in an automobile accident. I was raised with my cousins. I had four cousins from two of my aunts. And grew up around them in the same little town, and they were going to meet with our grandmother, and got the news that they had had an automobile accident, and Hope was the only one that died in that accident. And she was probably around 12 years old when this happened. The family was devastated. Just devastated at this. Of course, you know, my aunt was devastated by the death of her child. My mother was the oldest of 11. And so it was a large family. And I often wonder what would have happened if she would have lived, gone on, and lived her life. It's an interesting scenario. But I try not to live in the land of what if. But think about these people, whose families had buried their loved ones. And then there was a resurrection. And then a few days later, or that, I don't know how long, from the time that these people died to the time they were resurrected, when Jesus was resurrected, and they start walking into town. And they're going, "Hey guys, what's going on?" I mean, that would have been a little bit of a surprise, don't you think? You know, they were wrapped in linens. They were wrapped in burial clothes. And I think it would have been a shock. just a little bit. But they were given second chances. Isn't that the goodness of God? Isn't that the grace of God? I think about that in this scenario, that These people were raised from the dead. The earth was filled with life. And then all of a sudden, these people were given, they were given life again and got to be with their families. And their families got to rejoice. Not only, and this is the greatness and the good thing about God. Not only did they get to have the things that God had for them through Jesus Christ, but they got to have the benefit of the good things that God brings when He blesses your family when you have Jesus Christ. Understand, God wants to bless every part of your life. Every part of your life. I like what happened next. All of this happened. Jesus died on the cross, and then earthquakes happened, people being raised from the dead. And in verse 54, when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, observed the earthquake and all that was happening, I mean, I bet it was just happening quick, and they were terribly frightened and filled with awe and said, truly, this was God's Son. I think we may have made a mistake here. we may have missed it. Maybe God saying, you killed my son. No take backs. This was truly God's Son. Now, this evidence was enough for the centurion. What does it take to convince you? What does it take? Is an empty tomb enough to convince you? What does it take you to be convinced that the Son of God wants your heart, wants what you want, wants what God wants to get you to go to heaven? You see, God says He desires all men to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what He desires. He desires that you know Jesus intimately. And so He desires all of His benefits to come to you. He wants you to be submissive unto His Lordship. He wants you to be submissive unto Him being the Savior of who He is. And so all that takes is belief. Belief that He lived, that He died on the cross, that His blood was shed to cover your sins, and that He arose on the third day, and that He also was taken up into heaven and seated at the right hand of God. If you can receive that and accept that as truth, then say, God, I receive You as my Lord and Savior, and I desire to be saved, and I will follow You, and I want You as Lord and Savior of my life. You can be saved too. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And so, if you haven't ever done that in your life, then now's the time to do it. And I pray that you can. I pray that you will. I pray that the very thing God desires, He says, go out and tell the good news. That's the good news. Now, this is a message for those who have never made that commitment before. But I think there is also a message for people who have, people who have made a commitment to Christ. He is also talking to people who have been saved. And it's in Matthew 25. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. It's a timely message right now. Message 25, Matthew, not message, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Remember the bridegroom? He's the one that's coming back for a pure and blameless church. Five of them were foolish, thoughtless, without forethought, and five were wise, sensible, intelligent, and prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with them, also with their lamps. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began nodding their heads and they fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom! Go out to meet him!" Then all those virgins got up and put their own lampstands in order. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "There will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But he replied, "I solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you. Watch therefore, give strict attention, and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." God is giving us opportunity to prepare ourselves. God has given us opportunity to be full of oil. The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit to fill us with the Spirit and with every opportunity to be filled to the brim with His Spirit, to be engaged with Him. How do we become engaged with Him? It's that first love. Be ready. Be conscious. Be active. In what? Not busy. Busy doing this, busy doing that. Martha and Mary. There's a great story in the Word about Martha and Mary. Being busy about doing things that aren't going to matter. Be at rest, knowing that you have faith to believe for what God is doing. No. There has been, probably a few months back, probably a year ago, a man visited me, and he had a word of the Lord for me. He said, "Prepare yourself and position yourself." And that can go either way. Position yourself and prepare yourself. It's instructions that I have taken seriously. And so it's still true today. Prepare yourself for what the Lord has for you. And position yourself. Make yourself and put yourself in a position where when God is in need of you, you are ready to go. I am ready for whatever God's instruction is for me to go. And He will do that. He will give you opportunity to be ready at a moment's notice. I have had that opportunity, and I have enjoyed knowing that God has me ready for it. And I have prepared myself in spirit and know that my faith has led me to the point where I know he will fill my mouth at any moment when I need him. Easter, Resurrection Sunday is a wonderful time for resetting. Resurrection Sunday is a great time for you to say, let life begin again. So, rededicate your life. Recommit yourself to the things that God is saying to be renewed, and get back to where you have that first love for him. Jimmy has some things to say.
Amen. Good word. Thank you, Arthur. I saw this morning, I saw Chris Tomlin on Fox News. He was home with his wife and two girls and saying good, good father with them. And it's a really, really neat thing to watch. These little girls worshiping with him. But then he gave a real short, very concise, perfect message for Resurrection Sunday. And was recalled the story of after Jesus was resurrected, the disciples were hiding. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders and didn't know what was going to happen, didn't know what was coming. And Jesus entered in the midst of them. They were shut in with the door locked, and he entered in and said, peace be with you. And what a thing to keep in mind while we're set apart, while we're in our homes, while we're away from each other, not sure what's going to happen or when. Christ comes and says, peace be with you. So let's hear that message today. Arthur and I are going to be waiting to see what the governor says this week about maybe any new guidelines or relaxing of any of the restrictions we're under. There is some indication he's working on that. I just don't know when. But we're going to be considering parking lot service if that seems to be the right thing to do. If we decide to go that way for next week or the next, we will certainly get all the information to you as soon as we know that's the plan. We're just praying about all this daily for each week, every day, what we're to do and to bring the word and to edify the body of Christ in whatever way we can. So, watch for the text and email, and if you're not in the email system, I think I saw it from everybody that's watching, I think all of you are, but if you know somebody who's not and wants to be involved, give them that information about how to join our Flock Note system. All right? And I guess that's about it. I'm going to turn the slideshow back on for a few minutes in case you want to get that text and information. And that's about it. And have a blessed day. He is risen. We are thankful. And we'll talk to you next time we're together.